Yeah, welcome to another episode of Mr. Z and Fifth with your host, Zach Kias and the Fifth General. What's going on, yo?
What's good? What's good? Good to be here. Oh, yes.
Episode 30, season finale of Mr. Z and Fifth. Let's go. I'm saying, wait a minute, what did I just say? No, season four, my bad.
Season four.
Season three. No, this is season, season four, episode 30.
30, yes.
Season finale.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
If I said it the right way at the beginning, I apologize, I forgot. But anyway, we do so
much. Yes.
We do so much material, we can be off. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right, brother. We're gonna actually talk about a few things.
Yeah. Yes.
But let's get into what we got to talk about right now.
Mm-hmm.
You started off, my man.
Well, this month, as we know it, and I see it. I live in the New York City area, and I just see Pride. This is Pride Month. And it's been celebrated by people all over the states. And I just did some content on schools. School's about to be over for a lot of kids. But a few weeks ago, I did a content on some kids that are on some parents that are protesting kids being exposed to mommy sleeping with mommy, daddy sleeping with daddy. And there's actually material on it's perfectly, there's a book called, that's out there right, that was released in the book curriculum, in the school curriculum, called It's Perfectly Normal. And listen, and me and Fifth, we'll go out there, we'll proclaim Christ, standing up for the Lord and speaking, and we'll be ridiculed and persecuted for speeches, spreading God's word to that community. So, and for a lot of us want to take back, because the rainbow, what the rainbow represented was God's promise to never flood the earth, but the rainbow was taken, LGBTQ took that rainbow and they put it in their own symbol and they made the colors their own. And I've been seeing a lot of that going on, and the privileges that they have at hand that we as black people that we don't have the privileges and the protection that they have. We don't. When it comes to slurs, like the other day, I just heard about a slur in a school where was it a teacher? I believe it was a teacher that called the student the N-word, and still working. Now, if you say a LGBTQ slur, you're being penalized, ridiculed, all the platforms are pulled from you. And that's the energy where I'm coming. That's what I'm going to portray in the beginning of this, since it is Pride Week. And Pride Month, and I just wanted to reflect on that a little bit. And here I am reflecting on it on the Mr. Z and Fifth show. Yes. What do you think about Pride Month? I can talk about the history, because I already talked about the history of how it all started. And if you want me to go into that, I could go into that. But yeah, here it is. It's Pride Month, this whole entire month. Although I'm glad that some of us are celebrating 50 years of hip hop, you know, so.
There we go.
We're celebrating 50 years of hip hop. And that right there is something to be proud of, you know, and to reflect on. So, and we did that on the episode. But I just wanted to say that although you have that, but we also have our black music, hip hop, the music that was created from us and by us, and is for us too as well. 50 years of hip hop, and we celebrate that. Yes, we do.
Yeah, man.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
What was the official day for Hip Hop 50? Is there an official day?
I thought it was August of 1973. Sometime in August of 1973. And those who don't know, the birthplace of it is the Bronx, New York City Bronx, the Bronx. For those who don't know, those listening to us right now, they want to know the birthplace of hip hop is the Bronx. You know, so yeah. But I believe it was when I seen it, it was August of 1973. And today there's concerts coming. There's Hip Hop Forever concerts coming. And we have, I remember one thing I heard on the radio have one concert with Mary J. Blige. You know, she's representing hip hop R&B. And you got Wu-Tang. Is representing that's going to be performing at a certain, I believe it's July or August, if I'm not mistaken. And other artists as well. I think Sean Paul will be there. But I believe that's what it is. But they're collabing all art, like a lot of the artists that had the hip-hop influence, and they're putting them in one concert. I know there's a famous YouTuber, but DJ Cassidy has his concert coming up with all the golden era hip hop artists. That's going to be on there. Very exciting, from what I understand. Big Daddy Kane is going to be there. They even have Kid and Play, Salt and Pepper. Just to name a few. This is what I heard. Cool G Rap. What I'm hearing, this is a good, and he's bringing all the golden era. He got MOP gonna be there. The Locks gonna be there. It's gonna be that kind of concert. It's phenomenal. I can't even name a few. Special Ed from back in the days is gonna be there. I heard his name come up. Special Ed. But yeah, I did mention Salt and Pepper, and people still doing their thing. Queen Latifah still doing their thing. They're still, and this is gonna be a golden era 50th celebration of hip hop concert. That's gonna be big. It's gonna be big. I didn't even mention half of the names, but the names that I mentioned that's on the roster, you're gonna want to, if you're a hip hop head and you love 90s hip hop, you're gonna want to go be a part of that concert. The tickets are not so expensive from what I heard when I was looking it up, because I was like, golden era hip hop, where all these artists are on stage on stage that day. I forgot the day it is. I think it's sometime in July as well, but it's gonna be good. Yes, it's gonna be good, man. Yeah, it should be good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, man.
So, back to what you were saying in the beginning.
Yeah.
All right. My thing is the kids' thing, man. Like, I mean, whatever they could do. They're adults. They could do whatever the heck they want. You can't legislate righteousness, right? Mm-hmm. My thing is kids, man. Putting this on the children. They're not adults yet. It's inappropriate.
It's very inappropriate.
I saw a video, and you see this all the time with Dwayne Wade and his child.
Yes.
We'll call it. We'll call this person a child, right? Because that's exactly what a person is. So, the child is what, 13 maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But why is there so much talk about this boy's sexuality? It's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Why is this on major news platforms?
Because they want it, yeah, they want it to be, and see, the colors is for a reason. They chose the rainbow colors because they know that kids like colors. They want it to be colorful for the kids and fun. Just like Christmas, they want it to be fun, colorful for the kids so the kids could embrace it, kids could love it, kids could be a part of it, and kids could, and so they use Dwayne Wade's child and they expand on it and say that so it's perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal for the kids to be exposed to that. And I say it's wrong because as kids are like sponges and they feed off everything you give them. And I think the thing is that it should be the parents' right to say, no, I don't want my child to be exposed to that lifestyle. It's the parents' right. You cannot tell a parent what to do. That's their child or their children is their right. And what went on in California maybe a few weeks ago in North Hollywood, California, in the schools, when the parents were protesting the children being exposed, exposed to the lifestyle. And they were fighting. They were, riots broke out, disarray, you know, and all kind of mayhem broke out. It went to violence, but you know what? The parents are right. We have a right to what we have the right to make a decision what our child should be exposed to and not to be exposed to. And that's it's our kids. And you can't expose them because it's your curriculum and you got all the teachers dressed up in rainbow colors and saying, hey, it's wonderful, kid. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. You know, come on. You know, no, it should be parents' decision. Yeah, that's my take on that, you know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I saw a video, right?
Yeah.
And, come on, computer, don't do this to me now. I'm recording the show. Anyway.
Yeah.
I just said that, you know, hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, talk with them for a minute, man. I got to go off camera real quick.
Okay.
My computer's trying to do something I'm recording. Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, We have choices to make, our children are not young enough to make the choices. So it's up to us to mold our kids. And if we allow them to be exposed and big up to the parents who fought back and said, no, we're not taking this. And we don't want our children to be exposed because if we don't fight this, it could be a frenzy all over the country to allow that lifestyle to get into the kids all over the country, the curriculum, maybe for next semester because it's summertime and right now kids are out of school. So when they go back into school, when they start for the fall semester and they try to expose the kids, the children to that lifestyle, it's up to us to fight. Like you see some of the parents in the North Hollywood, big up to them, the North Hollywood section saying, no, we're not going to take that. And it's up to us to do that. It's up to us. And yes, and God is going to hold us accountable. He's going to hold us accountable if we allow that to happen, if we allow them to be exposed to that lifestyle. And yes, we have to stand up for the Lord. We have to stand up for God, yes. And we are living in these times, ladies and gentlemen. We have to. Our kids are being exposed to all sorts of things, all sorts of sexual sin. So we got to stand up. And yes. And don't take. I'm a big advocate of guarding what your children watch. I have children, So yeah, it's important to watch what your children watch and to be mindful of what they're being exposed to. And if you're not mindful of what it's being exposed to, it's just fair game. Fair game, and sometimes it's what they're being exposed to, and sometimes it's too late. The damage is over. Once they're exposed, their mind is contaminated, and also the damage is already done. So it's up to us to guard our children, to be mindful on what they watch and what they're exposed to. Yes. And we have the fifth general back. We have fifth back. Yes, we have him back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I saw a video. Mm-hmm. Not too long ago, when they was bringing in the first day of that, right?
Mm.
And they had, them flags everywhere in the school. I've never seen any holiday celebrated to the magnitude like this ever in life.
Yes. See?
You know what I'm saying?
So, right.
Christmas didn't even get as celebrated as much as this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you know why? Because the world says Christmas is a Christian holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, this is why they got to put the words Xmas.
Yes, to keep Christ out.
Right.
And let's break down pride. Now, yeah. let's talk about the term called pride. Now, pride... The Bible does say God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So pride, they hide their sin. Okay? You're hiding your sin. So now when you expose your sin now you have pride because you expose your sin. And you expose it to the magnitude where you want everybody to accept it. Everybody to be exposed and accept the lifestyle. To expose the lifestyle. And now, you're telling the parents and people, and also adults too, that you have no choice but to accept it in your house. Have no choice. It should be a choice. But now, they shove it down your throat. Should be a choice. And now the pride that they claim is love. They claim they have freedom and it's love and it's peaceful and love everyone. But let's get into the root. A lot of LGBTQ, they went through a lot of traumas in their youthful life, in their young lives. So that's why I know a lot of, sometimes you get heat for what I say, but it's a choice. You're not born with that. It's a choice. Yeah. I'm going to go, yes, I went there and I went there. It's a choice. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it should, and like I said, it should be a choice for adults. My thing is the kids, it's inappropriate, man. It's inappropriate. Listen, we all know that, wait, hold on. You know what? Matter of fact, let me see if I can get this video. There was a video I sent you a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need, and this should help out what we're talking about, because even the kid himself was like, hey man, this is too much. I'm just a child.
Right.
You know, why is this book in my school library? You know, this is like a sex book.
You know
what I'm saying? And the father had the press conference with him as well. It was like a little like thing that they were doing. Trying to see if I could find it. I had sent this to you so long ago, man. I don't even know if I can even find it. But you know, we had a concerned child. So we had a concerned parent, yes. But then we had a concerned child.
And right.
Here we go. Here we go. You turn my volume up.
This is bullshit. We know it, all right? We do not need to be having literature that's showing boys how to suck dick.
I'm a sixth grader. Oof. I was in the library. This book was on a stand. I'd like to read you a page. He's undoing my belt. I'm reaching into his bedside drawer for a condom. It reminds me so much of the first time we had sex. We were both fucking terrified, and the whole thing was kind of terrible because we didn't know what we were doing. Now, this book was at my middle school, and it was on a stand. When I rented it out to show my dad it, the librarian asked if I wanted more and if I wanted a graphic novel version.
Oh, Lord.
So that's my son.
Okay.
11 years old. I don't care whether it's gay, straight, bisexual, whatever the terms are for all this stuff, doesn't need to be at our school. As far as genderqueer, then this is...
Oh, Lord. From the mouth of babes.
Yeah, the truth speaks, yes. So... Let's break it down.
He's 11 years old.
11 years old. Let's break this down. If the devil can get to the kids, and the kid's supposed to be the next generation, that's what the devil want to do. The devil want to capture the minds because they know the kids are young and they're innocent and they're like sponges. And they want to cap. The devil wants to capture the mind of the children, and if the devil can do that, got them. So this is coming out from the mouth of babes. The boy even said it himself. This is not right. He read it, brought it to his dad. He knew it was not right. Brought it to his dad, and it was exposed. This is the curriculum that they're bringing to the kids. This is what they do. This is what they do to bring to the kids. And they're fighting for it. The powers that be are fighting for it to be brought to the kids. And so it's a battle. It's a spiritual battle we're fighting. And actually they want to just bombard you with it. Bombard the adult us with it. Bombard the children with it. And I'm sorry, we got to be soldiers for the Lord out here, man, because the devil is coming like a storm.
Well, let's get more natural speaking with people here, because a lot of them are not going to understand what we're saying right now.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a book that almost sounds like erotica.
Erotica, yeah, okay.
Okay. So does erotica belong in a school with underage children?
No.
Okay. So that's what this is about. Now, this was way before this month. Okay? But these are the kind of things that are becoming more public now. Because when I was in school, when I was 11 years old, that book wouldn't have even stepped foot in my school.
Right.
And he said that the librarian, which is an adult, said to that 11-year-old boy, "Hey, you want some more?" Do you want a graphic novel version of that? Okay. That's a very pedophilia type of conversation.
Yes, that's facts.
You understand? So that's where I'm getting at it. Listen, if you're a man and a woman, if you're a man out there and you're a grown man, you're 18 and up, and you like pole, that's your decision. You've made your choice.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You've chose your path.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a woman, same thing, because it's the same to me. I don't care what people say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but you're grown, though. If you're an 18-year-old man, because they say you're an adult at 18 in this country, right?
Yes.
And if you want to read a book about same-sex erotica, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
I'm not going to slap the book out your hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's between you and who you think your creator is.
Right.
But a little boy that still has to be looked for, watched for, raised, and guided.
No. No.
It's unacceptable.
It's very unacceptable. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. It's very unacceptable.
And I ain't budging off that.
Nope.
That's where the conservatism comes in. You know, more so than anything, because we're talking about kids. So yeah, that's my issue, man. And you're a father.
Yes.
You have children. I don't have any children, but yo, if it's this bad now, then what's it gonna be 10 years from now? To the point where an adult librarian, a grown man, is talking to an 11-year boy saying, "Hey, you want the picture version of this book?" What?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You got kids out here who don't even know about how they got here. They haven't even had the birds and the bees talk, and they're reading about this content. Then now when they go home to their parents, they're like, "Hey, what's this? Because mommy, you're with daddy. I saw a book that had a daddy with a daddy."
Yes, yes, yes.
So they're gonna try to figure that out. They're gonna be like, "What is this?"
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Daddy with daddy. Yeah, daddy with daddy. They're gonna daddy with daddy. They had a pastor named John Amakawaku. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm saying his name right. That spoke out. During I think it was in North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken, he spoke out against the book called "Us Perfectly Normal" in the school council, the school city school council meeting. Spoke out against the book called "Us Perfectly Normal," and he actually read the book at the podium to the guests that were there. When, as he read the book, it was very erotic, very explicit, and very erotic. One of the school board people told him to stop reading. His reply was, "See how it sounds to you? This is how it sounds to children that are 10 years old. This is how it sounds. See how you stopped me from reading it? Because you don't want me to read no more, right? It's too perverted for you, right? How you want me to stop reading it to you, but yet, how you want me to stop reading it to you, but yet you're exposing it to the kids? Children. Make it make sense." He told them also, and continued on his talk, he said, "Yeah, you got your LGBTQ, you got your PhD in LU, but I stand by the BIBLE. It's like, "Okay, pastor, you can sit down now." No. You want to expose that stuff to the children? But yet you can't even, well, I'm reading it to you. You can't even stand on me reading it to you. Make it make sense. Okay. Yeah.
Well. What, the sky was orange in New York.
Oh yeah.
Not too long ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of toxins because it happened in the Quebec in Canada. The landscape was filled with flames, and it stretched out to New York. I tell people that. Driving New York is only about from Toronto. Is it Toronto? About 8 hours away driving. 8 hours away driving. So it's not so surprising that the air is all, remember, this is all North America. So I'm not surprised that the air landed in New York City, because
I have a conspiracy theory about this.
Yes.
So New York City and Toronto, Canada, mm-hmm. is so many miles away from each other.
Right.
So many miles away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
How come they didn't show any other footage in Buffalo? Buffalo is neighbors, just right over the water from Canada, the Toronto area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where exactly in Canada are they saying this fire actually started? Because how is it that, I mean, when I look at the map, right, shouldn't that same smoke cover Pennsylvania too? Parts of Pennsylvania?
It did? It did touch Pennsylvania, but not as heavy as New York City. New York City got hit bad.
This is what I believe. I believe there were fires in New York State. And they're saying it's Canada. That's where I'm at. Does anybody know how big the five boroughs of New York City is? It covers up a lot of territory on the southern border of New York and New Jersey.
Yes.
Atlantic Ocean region.
Mm-hmm.
It covers up a lot of space from Staten Island to Manhattan to the Bronx, from Brooklyn, Queens. Outside the five boroughs, let's take it to Long Island. Outside of New York, let's take it to parts of Jersey like Newark and Elizabeth and
yes.
Jersey City. And yes. then also you got your bottom part of Connecticut.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I find it hard to believe that a fire from all the way from a whole nother country, even though it's the next state up, but when you look at geographically where the part of Canada is and where New York City is on the map, they're not exactly that close to the point where a next door fire. I mean, and then also another thing, right? Canada is not known for forest fires, right? Well, at least not that part of Canada, right? At least not that part, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, what the heck happened? And then secondly, is there any footage of them putting the fire out in Canada that they said it's happening?
They had some kind of footage where a helicopter was dropping something to the flames. I don't know. I don't know what they were dropping, but that's the footage I seen. And that was it. You know, I still have a question of what started it, you know, what triggered it off, you know, but what triggered off that massive fire, you know, and I'm glad that nobody got hurt. Nobody was in it. Nobody was around it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, all right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pick up the energy a bit. So I came across a video. An old video in some church somewhere. I don't know where the heck it is.
Yeah.
Somewhere, some mega church. Look like some women's conference. All I see is women in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
In some church. Here we go.
Anybody can get some bread and riches.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's take it back.
Driving your car.
Oh, come on, man. We're going to try this again, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Cashing your check. Wearing the suits you bought.
Hmm.
Real man, if you can't find a real one, stay single.
All right, Facebook. All right, let's go back.
Men worry when they don't have money. Men worry when they can't take care of you. Real men. Real men. Real men pay the bills. Real men put the clothes on your back. Real men take care of you. Sister. sister. Don't marry no breath and britches. Get you a real man. Take your time. Get you a real man. Anybody can get some breath and britches. Driving your car, cashing your check, wearing the suits you bought, eating the food you pay for. Come on, get you a real man. If you can't find a real one, stay single till God send you one.
Wow. Wow.
Go ahead, brother.
Stay single. Now, with breath and I still have the definition of breath and
britches.
Britches, yeah. Now, does it mean breath and britches? Does it mean broke? Does it mean like struggling?
Well, you could say that she broke. You could say that she broken down because she. How she unpacked it was getting with a guy who's driving your car and cashing your check and wearing the clothes you bought him.
Right.
So we could say that that's what she meant, which I'm not mad at that.
Right.
But the point I want to get to, and I'm going to let you take the mic again, is that why is it that we have such big platforms given to women about what a real man is? We make that call as men, not women.
Right, right.
So
right.
Go ahead, speak to that.
You know, we live in a society where, in this day and age, they try to feminize the men in this day and age. So back then, she's speaking about getting a real man. Now, the definition of definition, she wants to know the definition. She said, get you a real man until stay single. Well, yeah, I can't get mad at that. Can't get angry at that. But she said but to me, is like, she has all the, because she's older and she's an elder. She has all the saying of what a real man is. And I stand corrected on that. I will correct that, saying that only a man can speak on that behalf, what a real man is. And they got some women that they give a fair good game of what it is. Like she did where the Bible does say that we're supposed to lay the foundation and the women's our rib and. We lay the foundation and understand that women, they love security. Of course, that's another thing that they also like. They want to be protected and taken care of. Okay, I agree with those things. I agree with. Yeah, okay. As men, you do feel that way. But what I don't like is. She's like the end all do all of all, and the women just stood up and just clapped. Like she's the end all do all of. She's the end all do all of what a man should, in her book, in her mind, what a man should be. Mm-hmm. And to me, in many ways, we could take care of our women, and in many ways, a real man stands by his woman, a woman stands by him.
Okay? Well, there's care of it and there's care for.
Yeah.
How about that?
Right.
Care of and care for.
For, right. Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. The Bible doesn't tell men to take care of a woman in the same capacity to take care of children. That's pretty different.
Right.
Because the Bible still tells a woman what her role is. I find it interesting that it's very popular in church And I really have a problem with this in the Christian, so-called Christian community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's very, it's not frowned upon to always talk about what a man should do. They beat the man up every, all the time in church. This is why a lot of men have left church physically. You know what I'm saying? And they rather just stay home and read their Bibles. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
So a lot of, they've beat up the man so bad. But then, let you say what a woman's supposed to do biblically, all hell breaks loose. Women will stop. They'll leave your church. They'll stop tithing. Mm-hmm. And the biggest tithers are women. So this is why the church has been, it's been corrupted. It's been, what do you call that? It's been co-opted. It's been infiltrated by the government and society for so many years. And the word that's being taught is filtered.
Mm-hmm.
It's a filtered teaching that is not helping the body. Okay? We pick and choose what scriptures to speak about, and then we... And then when it gets brought up, we say, oh, save that for Bible study on a mm-hmm. different day. No, some of this mm-hmm. stuff need to be talked about where everybody is there, and that's on a Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever, whenever y'all, heck y'all have service. You know what I'm saying? Whatever day it is where y'all have the main service of the week. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's the problem.
Yeah, it's one-sided. It's one-sided.
It's one-sided. Go ahead.
It's one-sided because going to church as a young youth, mm-hmm. I used to hear them say that, yo, she's a lady. She's a lady. Mm-hmm. Then despite of her behavior, despite of her rudeness.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. She's a lady, and she's supposed to be respected as a lady. Now, despite of how she's acting, and it's true. A lot of men have been kind of turned off because of, you bring up certain scriptures, and I think women bring it up a lot with the scriptures where it says that when it comes to building the foundation, and when it mm-hmm. comes to a woman and being the protector and the provider, but it never said, the scriptures where it says. But they fail to bring up the scripture where it says helpmate. They vaguely bring up a helpmate. Vaguely. They're very rare they will bring up a helpmate. Their wife's supposed to be a helpmate. And let's face it, Fifth. We had to read that on our own. We didn't get that from going to church. You read the Bible and you read the word for yourself. And when you hear certain messages being brought forward, you never hear helpmate. You don't really, as I grow up, you barely hear that. So it's a lot of one-sidedness, and it's not doing so well it didn't do so well for the church, because I'm sure you heard it too, like, well, there's more women in church than men. And many times, this is one of the reasons. It's a one-sidedness, you know? Yeah. Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Well, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's speak on the fact that we have a lot of this mentality going on in the church. I mean, is this a classic case of women keeping other women single? Go ahead.
Expand
on that, if you can.
Yeah, because you see, the thing is that women some women take advice from other women that are miserable. Some women take advice from other women that are miserable, meaning that don't go with him. you ever another woman whispering to another woman in the church, or another woman, but oh, when they're speaking on the phone? Yeah, it's your girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ain't no good. Yeah, he ain't got nothing. He ain't, yo, mm-hmm. Larry ain't got a pot to piss him. Mm-hmm. He ain't got nothing. Yeah, look at him. He ain't got nothing. And that, and all these sort of things you hear. And then you hear about, and then you hear about, oh, well, why you wanna go with him? I mean, are you sure you want to be go with this guy and everything? It's like a put down. In other words, what God has blessed, sometimes God put people underneath your nose, but you know what you do? You know what you do? You listen to the other sisters. So that puts you in the single zone for a long time. You never know. God puts people underneath your nose. God puts people in your path. But you know what you do? You keep your door, your ears open to all kind of crazy advice, and not really taking the advice, not waiting on the Lord and taking His advice. But you listen to all types of advice, and sometimes that makes a person single for a long time. Fifth, tell me if I'm telling the truth.
Man, you
yeah. You know what I'm saying? So well, that's what it is, man.
Well, check this out. I mean, look, listen, this is according to NBC News. It says that 70% of, now it says professional. Something wrong here. It says 70% of professional black women are unmarried.
70%.
There's got to be a reason for that. And that reason could be narratives such as this. In that video, that looked like a football stadium of people, of women. Sorry, of women.
Yeah, women. Yeah,
and you got a female preacher. I'm saying female not because I'm trying to bring up gender, but because you guys can't see the video and I played the audio, so I had to let y'all know that this is a lady speaking, audience. Okay, and she said what she said. Now, I don't think all of what she said was wrong. I'm just saying, why are we leaving it up to women tell us what a real man is? This is what I think she should be telling these women. Ladies, know what kind of man you're dealing with. Because now, this is what a woman's going to come across with. She's going to come across a quote-unquote real man that she says that does put food on, that does put clothes on their back. You know what else he puts on their back? A whip. Right? Because they were looking for the man who only put clothes on their back.
Right, right.
Did she say anything about how a man's supposed to treat you outside of the money aspect and what he buys? I didn't
know
that.
It's all material.
But you know what? I can go back to the video if I'm wrong. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. Let's go back.
Men worry when they don't have money. Men worry when they can't take care of you. Real men. Real men. Real men. Pay the bills.
Okay. She said, real men worry when they don't have money. Real men, so she started with money. I'll play the rest.
Men worry when they don't have money. Men worry when they can't take care of you. Real men. Real men. Real men pay the bills.
Real men pay the bills. Money.
Pay the bills. Yeah.
Real men put the clothes on your back.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Real men take care of you.
Money.
Mm-hmm. Sister, don't marry no Brethren britches.
No money.
Get you a real man. Take your time. Get you a real man. Anybody can get some breath
britches.
Anybody can get some breath in britches.
In britches.
Mm-hmm.
Driving your car.
Driving your car, so he's a freeloader.
Cashing right. Your check.
Cashing your check, right?
So you give him money.
Wearing your, the suits you bought.
Wearing the suits you bought. Oh, so she's talking about the woman spending money this time.
Mmm.
I'll play the rest.
Eating the food you pay for.
Eating the food you pay for. So she paid.
Right.
God forbid she pays for anything, right?
Come on, get you a real man. Pay the bills.
And she said, I don't know why the audio cut off, but she said, and if you can't find you a real man, stay single until God sends you one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, real man.
Well, what does it take for a woman to qualify for such a man who is not just on some breath and britches as she talks, and not driving her car and cashing her check and buying her clothes because she didn't have a problem when the man's doing that, when the man is buying you food, when the man is buying you clothes, where the man is putting a roof over your head. She has no problem with that. She has no problem with, and I don't have no problem with that, right?
Right, right, right.
For a woman who's worth it.
Right.
But is she teaching what a woman has to do to get that? Is she teaching that every woman doesn't qualify for that? Women are exactly where they are today because that's what they qualify for.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but why is that on the man's part? Because this is what I'm going to say, ladies. I feel like I said this on the last show. Okay. If you have a list and you want things checked off your list, mm-hmm. your list has to go beyond provision. It has to. Women put every, this is what's being taught to women today. Everything is put on provision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And nothing else. It's more about provision than it is protection.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, and nothing else. And nothing else. And it's the measures of provision. Because women put a price on what provision is. Back in the day, there was no price on it. The woman saw a man making sure that the both of y'all wasn't homeless, and that was enough.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the provision part, now it's provision that's being taught to a woman is we gotta have this size house, we gotta have this expensive car. We got to take this amount of trips, and we got to go to these amount of countries.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ladies, that's not provision. That's abundance.
Mm-hmm.
That's two different things, and you don't, and not every woman qualifies for a man to provide 100% of abundance.
Mm. Mm. And you know, when they don't get that,
it's a man's fault. When they don't get that, it's a man's fault.
It's a man's fault, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because a lot of women are, for the women who don't read their Bible, here's the thing. Why is it that so many non-believers are asking for biblical principles in their marriage? That doesn't make any sense. You're not a believer.
Right, 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 right.
Don't even know how to even spell Jesus.
Yes, and they get asking for biblical principles.
But you asking for a biblical marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Say the same thing to men. Don't ask for what you're not either. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not knocking that. But the point I'm saying is, why do you, because men shouldn't ask for submission if they're not believers themselves and they're not getting women who are believers too. who subscribe to the same thing biblically. This is why you got to vet. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got to get a woman who aligns with what you believe too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's important. And people, that's why it's so much unequally yoked.
Yes.
People, and they kind of let that go over their head. Why they let it go over their head? Because they focus on the wrong things. They focus on the bag first. That's why it goes over their head. When you say, listen, there's stop focusing on provision. Stop. When they focus on the wrong thing, it's like, okay. Yes, we're not saying it's not important. It is important. It is important to know where your next meal is coming from. It is important to know that you can pay for over your roof. Is your head over your roof. And it's these things are in place and important. But it's never too good to put put everything in one basket and just emphasize on that only. You will fail. And you'll fail miserably. And he won't take you to go see meet his mama.
Yeah.
And he tell you that you're not the one.
Mm.
So let's just stop the let's just get our priorities straight. That's what I want to say. Get the priorities straight and just stop saying listen. And some women people come straight up with it. It's all about the money, honey. It's all about the money. Mm-hmm. And Fifth, you know where that person is today when they say it's all about the money? They're still single. They're still single. They're still single. Mm-hmm. Still single. So you gotta ask yourself. Ladies, it's important to ask. So yes, it's important to ask questions. It's important to ask questions. Now, you can ask as many questions as you want. But make sure that he knows that you're just not. It's not always about money, 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 money. Like what the lady, like what the elderly lady said in the video. I guess she was a pastor. And she was speaking that, and she's in everything she mentioned. Make sure you get a man. It had to deal with the money aspect of it. I didn't hear other things in it. I just hear clothing on my back, and make sure that he can take care, and make sure he can take care of you, which is very important. But it should not be the only thing that's important. That's all me and Fifth are saying. That's not the only thing that's important. There's other aspects to make to a healthy relationship or a healthy relationship. And that's important. Those things are important. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is where we at right now.
Yeah.
We're in 2023, and what'd you call it? I guess I could say the word. Gold digger mentality is off the roof. Ooh. Maybe because of the society, and I have to say society, because society puts so much on net worth. They put so much emphasis on it that character don't exist anymore. Mm. Personality don't exist anymore. It's how much your net worth is, your net worth. How much money you're bringing in, how much money you're pooling in. So Society and bombards our sisters with that. If you look at some reality TVs, You see the Lambo. You see the what she possessed. You see all these fancy things. Even on certain skits on YouTube, you see all that all these things, they put so much emphasis on material things that the other aspects of a healthy relationship, the other aspect of this lady, she failed to mention in the audio. That all those other aspects that are important is that a man can take care of you. Yeah, yes, take care of you. Yes, that's important to take care of you. It is, yes. But it just stopped there. It just stopped there because that's what the society is today. With it, no money, no honey. Okay. What's that old song? Fifth back in the days. Nothing going on with the rent. You need a J-O-B if you want to, come on, you know? So no romance without finance was part of the lyrics too. So a lot of emphasis put on finance, which is, when I say it's not important, but it's just only focused on that. And that's what it is. That's what it is. No more talk about family structure. I know there was a point in time when people sit down and talk about, okay, this is how I want my family to be structured, family principles and structures. The emphasis on that is out the door now. It's all about how much bag you have and how much money you have in the bank. Okay? How much zeros do I see in your bank account?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Yes.
Well. All right. I'm gonna play one last thing. Actually, I'll do more than that. I'll play this.
He has to make at least $200,000 a year. Are you on drugs? No.
Your response?
My point, my point taken perfectly. She has to make at least $200,000 a year. And the other woman replied, "Are you crazy?" So she probably figured that no, he has to make six figures, but over that, over 200,000 a year. Now, Fifth, you mentioned this many times. You only got so much so much people to go around with that, so much males to go around to get to all that, all these women, they just want a man that's making six figures. It's about so much people that can have that. It's only about so much people that can have that and possess that. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that keeps people single too.
Yeah.
And society paints a picture like that you have to have beaucoup dollars, six figures. And then that plays into the mind of some ladies and mentally messes them up. So they think, that's all there is to it. And all my worries, all my problems will go away.
So as long as they have
the bag, it will go away.
So let me say this, right? And I know this is kind of like a beating a dead horse, like redundant topic. This has been talked about for years. We all know that men have to become something to even be seen by a woman that they would... A woman that they would want to be, A woman of options.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let me say this better. Men know that there's a lot of hard work that goes into being visible to a woman, right? If you're a guy who's naturally handsome, then that's half the battle because girls like you because of the way you look. They don't even know what you have yet, right? You know, a woman can have, you don't know what background she has, but if she beautified herself, got real pretty for the night, you know, hair done, nails done, everything did, dress and all that, looking real fancy, right? Which we have no problem with that. That's something that she, you know, did for herself, right? Because she did that because she, you know, she did that because she felt like, well, I want to give myself the best possible option to be seen by men. So let me look a certain way. Let me look my best, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
A man doesn't necessarily have to, a man just can't look his best. He has to be his best.
Right, right.
And you know what I mean by that. Yes. So, yes, we could look our best. We could have the best clothes on, have the best fade, beard trim that we want, right? Make sure there ain't no dirt under your nails. Make sure your everything is right. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
sure
right.
Your breath is right. Your teeth is right, right?
Right.
All of that. Mm-hmm. You know what's wrong with that? But it's going to come down to the car you drive, the place that you live in, the job that you have, the income that you have, because there's the job and then there's the income.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's both. Because I think women like to be more proud of a man who does something that sounds better, even if it's the same money. I'll give an example. A man's a garbage, he's a garbage man, right? Sanitation worker. You know, he was able to, depend on what city you're in, was able to make $75,000 a year. That ain't nothing to sneeze at. Right? $75,000 a year. Okay, another guy, he's a YouTuber. He makes $75,000 a year somehow. Some YouTubers, right?
Yeah.
She'll get with the YouTuber because it sounds better.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because when girls go to their girls, they be like, girl, yo, he makes $75,000 just off of YouTube. They be like, she be like, get out of town, right? As opposed to, girl, he makes $75,000 a year. Doing what? Oh, he a garbage man. Garbage man? See what I'm saying? Same money, different occupation. Because that works better for that particular woman's ego.
Yeah.
Now, I can't knock it because let me tell you something. Although we're not looking for a woman's money, but what a woman does, how a woman earns her living does matter. Especially if you want to make her a wife and a mother.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Case in point, accounting. She makes $60,000 a year. Stripper.
Yeah.
Stripper. She makes $60,000 a year.
Yeah.
What are you going for?
Accountant.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, the money that she makes is not the prerequisite, though. Not for us. But it is a prerequisite for the women. You know? Now, like I said, there's the, what did I say? Characters, characteristics, morals, and values is what will last, as long as they're consistent.
Right.
You know, that can go haywire if the man just all of a sudden changes, you know, 10 years from now. I mean, that's unfortunate. And at that point,
I mean,
that's on him because he changed.
Right.
Not you. You know what I'm saying? And many women have divorced their man because they weren't happy. Just based off of not being happy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, why? Because
Tia Mary did it.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people depend on other people to make them happy. A lot of, and some women too, some women do it, some men do it. It's emotional. And when they made their vows to get married, they broke their vows, because a person cannot personally, they can have good times with you, yes, but they cannot feel that happiness that you lack inside. And when you depend on somebody to make that happiness, to feel that happiness that you lack inside, you already failed already. You're supposed to, as a person, you're supposed to build yourself up. I mentioned the word build yourself up. Build yourself up, meaning that, and I've heard this term, and I heard the same before, you're going to always have a broken relationship. Why? Because if you're broken, she's broken, it's going to be a broken relationship. Now, you cannot rely on somebody to make you happy, because you're going to be disappointed. It's going to be many times that person, if you rely on somebody for your happiness, you're a liability. Because now you're dependent on that person. And that's a big shoe for that person to fill. A person cannot be your end-all, do-all for happiness. Now, and this is why a lot of marriages fail, because they're going off of emotions. He don't make me happy no more. She don't make me happy no more. Not knowing that the vows that they made to God is like to love and to hold, for better or for worse, to love, do us part. They skip all of that. And they rely on that person to make them happy. And I'm going to say it again. When you rely on somebody to make you happy, you already failed. The marriage has already failed already. And some people break up because of that. Because it's, listen, I'm not feeling you today. You know what? I want a divorce. Oh, you don't make me happy no more. Baby, mommy, you don't do it for me no more. Mira, you don't do it for me no more. I want a divorce. Stop relying on people for your happiness. You're going to fail all the time. And you're going to go into the next relationship, and you're going to fail it. You're going to go into the next relationship, and you're going to fail it. And because you have delusional, expectations. And when you have delusional expectations, like some women have delusional expectations. That's why they're running after the bag instead of the man. They have delusional expectations. That's why they're running around after a man to have the bag. And if he don't have the bag, some men are not dumb. They feed into it. They say, listen, she just wouldn't, because I'm going to just hit it anyway. I'm going to just dig her back out anyway. You know why? Because, listen, she wants that paper, man. As long as I show her some big money and everything. But how you think I'm going to marry her? Mm. And they wind up not getting married, Fifth. They wind up not getting, why? Because he already seen that you're about the bag. He already seen that you're about that paper. So what'd he do? He hop in his nice whip. He what'd you call it? Lay the pipe down. Mm. And then he bounces.
Yeah.
Bounce. Drive off. He got what he wanted. And if ladies, this is my advice to you. So when you go on a date, ask them those questions. Ask questions. Don't just bombard his ears with what I want. Oh, can you take me shopping? I want to go to this very expensive restaurant. Oh, not knowing. I want you to buy my house for me. Oh, I want you to give me $100K to start my own business. All these things. I want you to pay for my hair. I want you to pay for my nails. I don't even know you want me to pay for your hair or your nails.
I mean, if she's your wife.
If she's your wife, she could do it. If she's your wife. If she's your wife. I'm talking about the first impression.
First date, yeah.
First date, first impression. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the single women going on the first date, first impression.
You want to hear something? You want to hear something? I was watching a podcast, right? This girl said, I'm going to call her a girl, although she's a woman. This girl said for the first date, a man has to pay for her babysitter, strike one, because now she's a single mother, right? Strike one, he got to pay for the babysitter. She said he got to pay for her car service, because she said she don't want the man picking her up. So the man got to get a car for her, right? Car service. She said he got to pay for her hair, nails, eyelashes, all that dress and all of that stuff. And the guy was like, so he got to pay for all of that. Then he still got to pay for the dinner. Oh, yeah, he got to pay for that, too. And then he don't even know if you even interested. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
Yo, I'm not doing that. Let me tell you something. I will be by myself for the rest of my life. Say if I had no other choice, right?
Right.
And all women came with this mentality that you got to do everything, all of everything, anything, all of that, right?
Yeah.
Just say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If every woman decided we're not going to date no more men unless they pay for our babysitters, our hair, nails, and all this on the first date, I will be by myself. You hear me?
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If that's the case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So to me, that's like bum chick behavior, man.
You
ain't got that, but you would call me a bum if I ain't got that, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, man. So this is, yeah. And that's a fact. Yeah. If you ain't got it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different energy. Yeah, different energy, man. And we just got to be mindful of that we can't, we got to be mindful of that. How we move and how we move amongst each other, we got to be mindful of. And mindful of what you say. Be careful of what you say. And stop. Not to say that finances are important. It is important. We're not saying it's not important, but priorities are real, and you need to focus on you, build yourself up, work on your attitude. So you have a better altitude, work on your attitude, and work on your character, work on your personality, work on things you need to work on for yourself. And before you know it, Mr. Right may come knocking on your door. But until then, it's not going to happen.
Well, let me tell you something. A woman who keeps single women single hates women. Hello. I believe there are a lot of men get hit with the, you know, a lot of men who big up men, you know, we and hold women accountable, we get the oh, you hate women stuff, right? I get that. I've gotten it.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it in the comments. You know what I'm saying? I've gotten it in the comments with some of our videos, right?
Yeah.
You know, that women say a lot of crazy things about me in the comments, man. I'm not like that at all. So I guess I must be doing my job right, right? I'm like a villain to some of these women in some of these comments. And like some of our short videos, right? Not like the big, because they don't
watch clips,
this.
The clips.
But
the
our,
clips.
Our short clips come across to some women, and women look at that and they say stuff.
Yeah, no, I've read some comments.
Yeah, I don't respond because I have thick skin, and this is the internet. Yeah. But I'm responding now just by saying this, and God bless you women. I ain't got no problem with you. But look, ladies, single women, or married women, the ones who got it themselves, women who are giving y'all bad advice, they hate y'all. Do you not understand that? If they're keeping you single, they hate you. A lot of men, including myself, on YouTube or whatever, that want to encourage marriages, we don't want y'all to die alone. I don't want men to die alone. What I'm basically saying is, let's both get our act together. And let's both care about the things that actually matter in each other. How about that?
Mm.
And then we'll get to the promised land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's all I want.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm done for the night. Zacchaeus, you can close it out, man.
Yeah, man. So we embrace the comments. Thank you for the comments. And then we're gonna stand our ground and say this. Listen, we gotta watch how we move, and also watch your character too, because that's what keeps you single. That very thing, the content of your character. That's what keeps a lot of people single, because you can look great, beautiful, pretty, gorgeous, but it fades at the beginning. It's great while you're looking, it's great in the beginning, but that's not the end all do all to what sustains a relationship. It's how we treat each other. And if we can work together, are we compatible? And I'm going to end it right there.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, man. Episode 30, man.
Yes.
Season finale. All right. The show itself, you know, we do little, like, off seasons, but what I'm going to try to do this year on the YouTube page is every now and then try to pop up on here and talk about stuff. I thought about that. You know, I'm trying to get better at this YouTube thing.
Yeah.
Even though it won't be necessarily shows, but every now and then we'll try to come up on here. I'll get my brother up on here.
Yes.
And
yes.
We'll try to talk some things out. Get some guests, get some people involved.
Yes.
On a couple of broadcasts. But as far as the Mr. Z and Fifth show goes, this is our season finale of season 4. I will give you all updates on when we'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
We won't take that long.
It won't take that long.
We might take like 2 months off from the show itself, but we won't take that long. We're gonna let people enjoy their summer.
Yep.
And we're gonna enjoy our summer. I'm gonna let my brother enjoy his family.
Yep.
I'm gonna do what I gotta do. Yeah. and plan the next move for the next season and anything else that's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we wanna appreciate y'all for this has been our highest supported season.
Yes.
So we wanna appreciate everyone for tuning into the Mrs. Z and Fifth broadcast on YouTube. on all platforms such as Audio Mac, iTunes, and Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and wherever you may listen to the show, watch the show. We want to thank y'all for that. This was a video. I'm sorry. This was a season full of all video footage. So this was a good accomplishment. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm proud of that. You know what I'm saying? Proud of that. We did all video, and this podcast can only graduate from here.
Yes.
You know, that's just how it is. We're gonna keep doing this. Yo, the one thing I want to give advice to YouTubers, right? I want to give advice to podcasters in general. Me and Zakia has been doing this podcast specifically since 2017.
Yeah.
But we've done things on the internet going back to 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we had a long time of not doing nothing, but I just want to say something. If you're passionate about anything that you want to do in life, as long as it's not taken away from your life and you still gotta do the adult things and live your life, like earn a living, an honest living, and take care of yourself and your family if you have one, right? And that is this. If you feel that this is something you want to do, keep doing it. Don't worry about the, and I know some people are going to say, well, people who don't get views say stuff like this. Don't always worry about the views in the beginning, man. You know, some things hit when they need to hit. Some sooner than others.
Yeah, yes.
Or some have hit early, and then because it wasn't their passion, then it dropped off tremendously.
Yes.
I've seen that too in the YouTube world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where a person would get thousands of subscribers and then lose all of them right after. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah.
Go ahead. You got a comment on that, Zacchaeus?
Yeah. People can feel your creativity when it's real or not. They can feel that they can feel when you love it.
Yeah.
And they feel just doing it just for a thing because it's a phase and a fad because everybody else is doing it.
Right.
But so they know what's real or not. So some people can feel for what's real or not. And so if you're doing it just for a thing because podcast is popular right now, don't do it. Do it because it's a passion, something that you love. Because the things that you love eventually is gonna pay you. Eventually. But if you love it, you do it. If you can find yourself doing it for free and you enjoy it, later on it's gonna pay off for itself. So remember to, if you love doing talk radio podcasts continually, if you could do it, find somebody you can do it with, find somebody you have a chemistry with, and go ahead and do it, and you'd be surprised to know who wants to listen to, how much people want to listen to your podcast. It's always somebody that want to listen to your podcast. Always. And always. Why? Because there's information that needs to be put out there. Information that needs to be put out there. You can never know who's listening. You never know if a podcast that you're putting out can touch somebody. You know, I have some subscribers, even with the Mr. Z and Fifth show, that said, oh, thank you for putting on that show. That show has touched me. That episode has touched me. Thank you so much. Yeah, I got into your episode. I get into your episode. That made me feel good because I know that, well, wait a minute. Damn, me and Fifth got to continue this because I know that we are touching lives out there. We're spreading the truth out there. And we're letting you know what's going on, what's the real and what's going on. What is relationships? What is political issues? What are social issues? We're letting you know what's going on. We're coming from our truth. And we're giving you the good information. So we thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to us. And if you love doing a podcast, Don't say, I have people that came to me and said, how do I start a pack? How do I start a pack? How do I start? I'm going to wait till I graduate from college. Listen, brother, listen, sister. The best way to start a podcast is to start now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't wait till you get a college degree. Don't wait till you start now. Oh, I want to do sport card. Start now. Do not. Because you know what you do? Because if you wait and say, you're going to keep putting it off. Hey, listen, we all get older. We keep putting it off. And next thing you know, you get busy with life, you got no time to do it. So if you say you're going to do it, just start it. That's how we did it. That's how we did this at Lifestones Radio since 2008. We just did it. We just did it. We love music, but we said we want, Fifth was like, yo, let's do a talk show. And we just did it. We do it. Yeah. So that's all my encouragement to y'all. God bless.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Amen. Let them know where they can reach you at, man.
Can reach me on Zacchaeus Music on Instagram, on Zacchaeus Music on Facebook, Wayne Backus on Facebook. Also, Zacchaeus Music on Instagram. Zacchaeus Music on Instagram, TikTok. TikTok. Wayne Backus Gospel on TikTok. Also, I got so much, but y'all can hit me up. Hit me up on Instagram, Zacchaeus Music on Instagram. God bless y'all.
Mm-hmm. Holla at me at The Fifth General, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, y'all. This was another episode of Mrs. Z and Fifth, Season 4, Episode 30. All right. We'll see y'all when we come back.
Yes.
Enjoy your summer. Peace, y'all.
Peace.